Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, please guide us as we seek your understanding, and we pray in Jesus' name and amen. There are big stirrings going on in the world spiritually, and big stirrings going on in the world financially and socially. You know, we've been hit, but maybe not hard in those areas, not in a devastating way at least, but we have been had effects and been hit in recent years and recent months. We've seen and we have felt various things going on in our awareness, spiritually, financially, societally, and personally. Yes, on many levels, there are things going on, and our world is being shaken a little bit here and a little bit there. Normal areas of life, we get to watch them and see them just shift. So, about life, we have made big changes sometimes. Have you ever done that? Look back on your life and think, have things turned out how you have planned them to turn out, or were there surprises? No doubt, they turned out different from what you expected. That just seems to be the way it goes. And often enough, the surprising results are greater than we expected. We think things will change, but not as much as they do. That's just normal for human experience. And this is a normal part of life, physically and spiritually. Same thing. So, well, in 15 or so minutes, we're going to have a guest on today. And it's a man who loves God. He's an author, Elwood Trost. But just at the moment, we're going to talk a little bit about things that are going on and things that we can consider. Changes, consider things that are changing, just things going on. I know I think about the neighborhood in Texas where there's the Hurricane Harvey going on. Oh, it's changing so many people's lives. Things are going on in businesses, in homes, in grocery stores, and the food supplies. Yes, all sorts of things are changing there. It's a big surprise for people. Hurricane Harvey is doing some big things in Texas. I saw on the news report that there were two very large trucks. The commentator said that they had been sent to Texas by our Federal Reserve. And what was the Federal Reserve doing there? Well, it was presumed that they had currency and coins on those great big trucks. Because, you see, without electricity, a lot of things don't work. The cash machines don't work. ATMs, that is, don't work. Banks are closed, and credit cards do not function. So, that's how the situation goes when you don't have electricity. And if you want, you can think about that in preparedness. I often enough do. Just what's going on? How can we fix it? How can we have the circumstances not be so difficult for us? On the West Coast here, there are several reasons why we could find ourselves in a similar predicament. You know that earthquakes can abound, fires can abound, we can have our lots of systems, like the electrical system, could be disrupted. And so we need to remember to be prepared for that just-in-case kind of situation. Different sorts of natural disasters can come along and cause us to have no electricity, for our systems to be down, just unavailable. And that would be a significant problem. Yes, it would, for lots of reasons. Probably the most immediate one is water and food. And I say water first because that is our greatest need if you're having a physical need. So I think it's funny to look at who says food and water. Most people do, but it's really water that is the most important part. if you think about the survival experts, they say you can live 3 days without water, so... But I have to tell you, I've gone without water for a day, and the effects are significant. And if you go on a 3-day fast, which some people do, you notice the effects of hunger, but the way I see it is you are doing that as a dedication to the Lord. And when you're fasting, you do dedicate that time to the Lord, and so somehow you're protected from the effects of that fast. 3 days fasts are good. Any fast is good. And what you do is it reminds you to get close to our Lord. Okay, so back to food, back to water. Water, yes, have that water on hand. It is so important in case of an emergency. It's so you can live and function well. You need water to function well. And these things, food is also important, and it is a way of showing your taking care of your family and to show others the love of Christ, the love of believers in the world for the world. Yes, share with some, share your food, share your water with other people. So, about food, everyone has their own ideas about what to do for extra food. There's canned foods, there's dehydrated foods, there's grains. But you have to kind of figure out what makes sense to you. What are your perceived needs? What is the situation? And then you get to do something about it. Don't forget to do something. And I know there's plenty of places that have a 30-day food supply and a little 5-gallon pail, or sometimes it's a 2-week food supply, and it's in a 5-gallon pail. Yeah, it'll work, but I sure like to have more food than that. So I suggest things like grains, sugar, salt, and oil, and a wheat grinder to grind those grains. A living grain has more nutrition in it. So those are my ideas on it, and if you ever want that free pamphlet on natural disaster preparation, you can always write me. Write me and John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. So these things are what goes on sometimes. Circumstances change, our emergencies change. But food and water, water and food, we will always need. And there's things like money. Now that's convenient. Sometimes we will need that too. But just give these things some thought and see how it works for you. To have supplies on hand. We all have needs. We all do. And don't forget your spiritual needs. In a sense, there's nothing more important than your spiritual needs. Nothing. And as we go through life, we recognize more and more that our relationship with God is so very important. So often people need a crisis, or they need to be facing death, or see someone else that is facing death, and then they realize, yep, spiritual needs are important to have satisfied. So have a look at that and be comfortable with your position. And that way, when a difficult time comes, when a challenge comes along, you will be able to confront it with more ease and recognize that you have certain things taken care of in your life because you've dealt with them. Your spiritual situation, and of course, there's also the water and food. If that challenge comes up, you will know that you will want to do something for preparation on that area too. Have a start at this. Give it some thought. Have a plan and do something. So let's look a little further and see what things allow for that just-in-case situation. And that means spiritually too. Yes, spiritually, things happen. We have to look at the just in case. Just have a look, at the spiritual situation, say, what if? Because we all have to look at what the time frame is for, well, it could be anything. Some momentous event, even life and death. These things happen, and they happen more than we think and with more frequency than we think. So, and I think that Hurricane Harvey in Texas is a good example of a surprise. Things happen. Here on the West Coast, we can have these things happen too. We can have earthquakes, we can have forest fires, we can have, even the ocean could affect us and could be a big wave, a tidal type of wave. All these things are consideration. We should be prepared. Yes, physically, but yes, spiritually. In a sense, there's nothing more important than our spiritual needs, because that's eternity. This life is over. At some point, we will all pass into the next life. But life after this one is eternal. And here we are trying to have our eternal destiny set in this life. So pay attention to it. Consider the different things that could happen, the different circumstances or events. Yeah, definitely. Have a look at them. There's a lot that's going on these days. And yeah, we can look at the very basic needs we have. Water, food, sure. Compassion is another one. How we have compassion for people around us, the ones we're involved with. That is an essential thing too. It is essential for the kingdom of God on earth here. I mean, how we interact with it. So, ultimately, it is a question of heaven or hell. Yes, that's the big one. Where do people spend eternity? And that's what we as Christians are trying to share. The love of Jesus Christ so that people have an eternal life. And now these days, we do see things going on, and that is really what today's broadcast is about. There are signs and there are events going on around us. And I think it's only wise to look at the possibilities, look at the just-in-case situations. So often we look at things in life and we think, oh, they will never change. But you know from your own decisions or from circumstances around you that things really do change. All sorts of things happen, and we want to focus on the big picture, have an idea of what will occur. Too often we look at the little things in life. We look at our little fears or our little gratifications and the things we think we need. That's what we focus on, but we must not neglect that big picture of our spiritual life, of our spiritual afterlife. Consider those things. Ponder these things. Examine, where is your spirit going, your soul? And so have a life that is lived according to these beliefs. Understand that the future is determined by your decisions right now. These future things is a question about what we are doing right now. What right now in life and the things that we see in front of us. There are lots of people who are getting a spiritual message. Jesus visits them in countries where Christianity is not only frowned upon, it's a death sentence. And you look at the Christians in Iran, you look at the Christians in China. If they speak up, why, it can mean a very quick death. Death just for saying that they're a Christian. And here we are. We have freedom in America. We can say we are Christian, and we are allowed that freedom. But in other countries, they don't. Jesus is real, and they know it. They have these experiences, and they know Jesus is real. There's many people here in this country that know that Jesus is real also. They've seen Jesus move. They've seen miracles. They have seen things happen. And we want to be strengthened by our faith, by which we know these things, rather than having fear in our hearts. And that's one of those things that, remember in the Bible, men's hearts failing them for the fear that is coming upon the earth. What is coming? Well, we don't exactly know, but we have indicators and we have writings. And if you look in Matthew chapter 24, you will see what is coming upon the earth. Yep, it looks pretty intense. And so why are these things coming about? Why do we have difficulties? Why do we have the judgments? Why? Well, we can see that if there are the difficulties, if there are the judgments, there will be. But because they're coming about, it is a way to reach people. These things just grab your attention when you have a serious, serious life and death situation. And it causes you to think. It causes you to act different. It causes you to see the reality of life and death, the reality of heaven and hell. And that's a part of what we're doing in life. We are seeing this is reality, and how do we reach out and save people? Give them the opportunity to have the faith in Jesus Christ, and so to live forever with him instead of going to hell. It's a matter of what we understand, and these opportunities of difficult times, the difficult times will enable us to be good witnesses, because we'll see right in front of us opportunity to introduce Jesus and hope for the future. And that's what we want to do. Be the light of the world. That's what we're here for. To have a testimony and to introduce people to Jesus for their eternal life. In heaven! Yeah! So, in the meanwhile, we are prepared. We are prepared for all the different situations. Whatever they might be, we can be prepared. Whether it's that hurricane in Texas or an earthquake in California, or, well, they just go on and on. People have difficulties. People have situations. And we want to not have the difficulties. So we have the preparations physically. And besides those physical preparations, which are going to be different for everybody, we want to be prepared in our spirit. In our spirit. And that means having our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Hooray! Yeah, that's what we want. That's what we want. So now we're going to come up to a minute and have our guest on, Elwood Trost. And thank you for tuning in today. And today we have with us a special guest. This is Elwood Trost. He is the author of numerous books, things that talk about God's love for us and what is coming in the future. And today we are just so pleased to welcome Elwood Trost.
Well, thank you, John. It's good to be here and to share God's love with many that are listening. Because, God is good. He's got good plans for us, and he's got a future and a hope for us. And he has the best plans that you can imagine, and his love is beyond anything we can imagine, too, that he demonstrated in his son who died on the cross for us so that our sins can be forgiven and we could come back to the Lord because of that.
It's just wonderful. It's joyous. God has a plan, and we say yes, Lord, to it.
And you know, we're living in that day where there's a lot going on right now, and yes. We really need to be in the scriptures to understand what's going on, because there's a lot of false teaching going around, and God's word is true, and we need to be in the word ourselves and not just what other people are teaching us, because there's, like I said, a lot of error out there today, especially about the end times. Yes.
I see that too. Yeah. I see so many people teaching things, and I say that does not exactly line up with the Bible. You are really expanding in areas that are not scriptural. So I see that too. And we have a responsibility, each one of us, to read scripture for ourselves and make decisions of our life with that.
Yeah, let me explain a little bit about myself and where I come from. I used to work in electronics down in Stanford Industrial Park. Back in the early 70s, I saw a TV show on Matthew 24, and it was about end times and signs of the second coming, and it really got my attention because I wasn't ready. I wasn't a believer. I wasn't ready, and I knew I wasn't ready to meet the Lord, but I didn't know when he was coming back or anything, so I quit my job, which is pretty extreme. But you know,
yes, it is.
When the fishermen threw their net down and followed Jesus, it was pretty extreme. So sometimes that's required of us to do things like that. And then I realized later it was actually God calling me into his kingdom. So I moved to Northern California, a little town called Little River, to a log cabin that my parents owned. Nobody was living in it. That overlooked the Pacific Ocean. And started reading the Bible, saw where you had to be born again, and asked for that. And the Lord came down on me like a mighty rushing wind, like he did in the book of Acts. And then I read where, you know, that promise was for us that are far off. God is still doing that today. And so I started reading the Bible, and I saw where a lot of what was being taught in the 70s was not biblical. It wasn't scripture. So that got me interested in a burden, and that's what I've written some of my books about. That I really take a literal approach on the end times.
Yeah.
And I'm putting together the signs, the feasts of the Lord, the signs we're seeing, and some types in the Old Testament. I've come up with a timetable, and I know that there's you know, a lot of abuse in that area. But instead of using a mathematical approach, I've used scripture. I've used the feasts of the Lord, which are the fall feasts or rehearsal of the second coming. As the spring feasts were fulfilled at the first coming, the fall feasts are a rehearsal of the second coming. And I believe that Jesus is coming back on the Feast of Trumpets. 9 days later, you have the Day of Atonement, and then 5 days after that, you have the Feast of Tabernacles. Those are the fall feasts. So if he comes back on the Feast of Trumpets, then the seven-year tribulation starts on the Feast of Trumpets 7 years earlier. And so we're looking at that happening very soon, I believe, because with the signs that we're seeing, Jesus said there'd be signs in the heavens. And when you see these signs, look up, your redemption draws near. Well, we've seen the blood moons of 2014, 2015. We have a new sign that's coming up, September 23rd of this year. It's the woman clothed in the sun, moon under her feet with 12 stars. It's the woman of Revelation 12. This sign has never appeared before, and it'll never appear again. And it appears on that date over Israel. And I believe what God is telling us, get ready for the Daniel 70th week to start, which is the last 7 years of this age. So if you see a peace treaty September 21st or 22nd of this year, that means the seven-year tribulation has started. And I believe God has revealed to me that there's one seal open per year. And so that would be the first seal, which is deception. The white horse is deception. The second seal is the red horse, which is war. That'd be the second year. The third seal is famine. which is the black horse. The fourth seal is the pale horse, which is pestilence. And in the middle of that fourth seal, 3.5 years into that, we have the abomination of desolation set up. And that's in Revelation 11, where the Antichrist comes in and takes over Jerusalem, sits in the temple, and claims to be God. And so that Antichrist starts the tribulation with a peace treaty, and then 3.5 years in, he breaks it. And then 3.5 years after that, Jesus comes back. So we're going to not know the day or the hour, but we're going to know the season. And that's what the Bible says. It says they'll say safety and peace, and sudden destruction come on them. But Jesus says, you're not in the dark, so it's not going to come on you by surprise. So we're going to know when the second coming is at the door.
This is remarkable, because there are areas that I have been interested in for such a long time. One of them is the fall feasts of the Lord. And while I had an idea this was going to be the subject today, this is of an immense interest to me.
Yeah, the Feast of the Lord, the Feast of Trumpets, is the only feast out of the seven feasts that begins the month of Tishri. And so it's the only feast that they don't know the day or the hour it begins. So Jesus was giving us a clue that he was going to come back on that day. You know, Jesus didn't say you wouldn't know the week or the month or the year.
He said, that's right.
He said you wouldn't know the day or the hour. And it's amazing that there's seven feasts of the Lord, and this is the only feast they don't know the day or the hour it begins. And I'll tell you, the reason for that is they have to witness the first sliver of the new moon, because it's a lunar calendar they go by. So they, when they see the first sliver of the moon, two witnesses of the Sanhedrin have to witness it. They blow the trumpet, and that starts the feast. Well, all the other feasts are in the middle of the month during a full moon. So this feast is really what Jesus was pointing to when he said we wouldn't know the day or the hour. He didn't mean that we wouldn't know when he was coming back, because why would he give us all the signs of the second coming?
Yes.
Signs and seasons.
We would know the season.
And you know what? Those signs are happening right now before us. We just had a solar eclipse come over America.
That's true.
And it was on the first day of Elul, which is the 30 days before the Feast of Trumpets, which is the last month of the Hebrew calendar that starts the new year. And it's the month of repentance. And I believe God...
Repentance. Right. That's a great theme, isn't it?
It is.
We need that.
And it's the same solar eclipse that went up through Nineveh.
At the same pattern?
The same pattern that when Noah started preaching there. And he started preaching 40 days before the Day of Atonement, which is the 40 days he preached, is from the beginning of the first day of Elul to the Day of Atonement. Which 40 days. And there's 30 days from the first day of Elul to the first day of Tishri, which is the Feast of Trumpets. And so he preached those 40 days, but Nineveh had, this was in 763 BC, and Nineveh had a plague right before that. And when they saw the solar eclipse come over, they knew they were in trouble. And God was calling them to repentance, so it made Jonah. It made his job real easy, because they were ready to repent.
They were ready, yes.
And as America right now, we should be ready to repent. This is a month that we should be really seeking the Lord, rending our heart. Like it says in Joel 2:12, it says, rend your heart, not your garments, and with fasting and prayer and with mourning, cry out for God's forgiveness. I mean, we need it. We're in trouble as a nation.
As a nation, many of us individually, and as a society, a nation, yes, we have done wrong in the eyes of the Lord, our God.
Amen.
Yes, we need to repent. We need to pray for forgiveness.
What I'm thinking would be awesome is if we could form small groups, maybe your home group or whatever, and come together with this theme for this month of just crying out to the Lord for mercy and grace, because it says in the second chapter of Joel that he could relent. If there's enough people crying out for his mercy, you know, we know Abraham, if God would have found 10 people in Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh,
that's right.
That he wouldn't have destroyed it. And surely he could find 10 people in America to repent and fast and pray and seek him this month, you know, and just put him first. And so I think that's what the solar eclipse was all about, is a warning to us to take it, things seriously, you know, and realize that things aren't going to go on like they have over the years normally. We're in a day of change. God is closing out this this age, and that's good news, because who wants this age to go on the way it is any longer? He's coming back. Jesus is coming back, setting up a kingdom where righteousness will prevail, and that he will rule for the next 1,000 years and actually on into eternity. His government will never end. And so what we want to do today is really get into the right kingdom, because this kingdom is going down, but the kingdom of God is going up, and that's the kingdom we want to be in. So whatever is keeping you or me or anybody else from doing God's will right now, we need to get it out of the way, because it's a matter of life and death. It's a matter of where we're going to spend eternity, too.
So, yes, and that's another very good point, is how do we seek Lord God through Jesus Christ with all of our hearts and all of our spirits, our mind, heart, and soul?
You know, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. The problem is, most of us are seeking things that we want instead of seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that's where faith comes in. We got to know that God loves us, and if we'll seek him first, it's going to be the best. And he sees things through eternity, where we see the temporal. He sees the whole picture, the beginning and the end. And we need to trust him that we can give everything up, everything that we desire, we can give up. And you know what? He'll give us the desires of his heart and the desires of our heart, because if we give everything up and put him first, our desires and his desires will be the same. And that's what it means by he'll give us the desires of our heart. He's not going to give us the desires of our heart if they're not aligned with him. But if they're aligned with him, he will give us the desires of our heart.
The righteous desires of our heart. That's a good way to understand it.
Yes, and I really believe, as I read the Bible, that we're not going to escape what's coming.
Yeah.
In Matthew 24, Jesus says in verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, and then he goes on talking about second coming and the rapture, and he talks about the worst time in world history right before he says that. And so that puts the rapture at the end, if we're going to believe what Jesus told us. And but it's also going to be the best of times. For the church, we're going to have a harvest that nobody can believe in, that nobody can count. There'll be so many people saved. And it's already beginning. Reinhard Bonnke over in Africa, 76 million have been saved or something like that. And just the revival that's going on in Iran right now, and all the Muslim countries, they're having visions of the Lord and dreams of the Lord. And just God is doing a real harvest. We know China is full of Christians now, over 200 million Christians.
200 million. You know, this is really remarkable because in China, in Iran, it is a death penalty if you are a born-again Christian.
Yep. And
they still believe.
Well, it's because God reveals himself to them, and they're hungry. They're looking for answers. And you know, people are hungry everywhere. They're looking for answers.
Yes,
and as
true.
Christians, we need to get out of our comfort zone and start telling them what the answer is, you know. And I know it's not easy, but we have to do that, you know. And we're going to be walking in signs and wonders. I heard a radio interview not long ago where this lady had a dream, and there was calamity going on, and people injured and discouraged and no hope. And she walked down there into that with the love of God in her heart. She had so much love that she almost burst. And she'd walk in and just start telling people about Scripture and the Lord, and watched them change right in front of her eyes. And then she started healing them. And, you know, Jesus said, heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out demons. So he's given us authority to do that, but we have to do it. And we have to get out of our comfort zone to do it. I've seen people come back to life through prayer. In 1994, we went into a hospital and prayed for a lady. She was dead for 45 minutes, and God brought her back to life. But it's God. It's not us doing it. Jesus does it.
Right.
And when I was first baptized in the Holy Spirit back in the 70s, 43 years ago, I had doctors giving people back to me that I'd prayed for, that saying, you can do more for them than we can. And so the power is there. The authority is there. Jesus said for us to do it, not to be asking him to do it all the time. Not that it's wrong to pray for people to be healed, but there's a place where we need to step up and do the healing ourselves. You know,
be a part of God's kingdom and speak God's will into people's lives, that they are saved and that they have the choice to accept Jesus Christ by living.
Yes. So anyway, the challenge is great, but we serve a great God.
Oh, yes, we
do. So know when you step out there, he's got your back. And just be bold. Step out. Do the works of God. He says we're supposed to be doing greater works than he did.
I know. Isn't that remarkable?
Yeah.
You sure wonder about that. I do.
But he said it.
He said
so
it.
So let's do it.
Yep.
You know, and and as these tough times come, which I think we're going to see shortly, then he's going to give us more power, too. You know, we're going to see healing revivals. We're going to see the Great Commission fulfilled throughout the world. And all that's going to happen in the next few years, very shortly. And I believe, be looking at September 21 and 22 this year and see if there's a peace treaty. And if there is, that is what starts off the last 7 years of the age, or Daniel's 70th week, they call it. The scripture is Daniel 9:27. It says, he will make a covenant, confirm a covenant for 1 week with many. And in the middle of that week, he comes in and sets up the abomination of desolation. So that 1 week of years, that's what it's talking about, the last 7 years. So that's our scripture. And if you see it fulfilled this September, know that we're there.
We would be there. Wow. So this is on the edge of what just might be happening. Right here, right now. It's just almost here. Wow.
Yes. And you know, there's a lot of things that are just pointing to one place. And it's the feast of the Lord, the signs in the heavens, and this one major sign that's just coming up.
Of the Virgin Virgo, the constellation Virgo.
Yes.
And
that's going to be seen over Israel on September 23rd. And that, when you see a sign that's directly in the Bible, it should wake us up. It should get our attention. And, you know, we're not talking about astrology. we're talking about astronomy. You know, God has the whole gospel written in the stars, and it's Satan that's taken the astronomy and made astrology out of it, which you don't want to deal with. You don't want to read astrology. You know, if you believe it, you read it, believe it. It gives Satan and demons the right to make that happen in your life. And we want God's plan happening in our life, not the enemy's, you know. So
that's right.
Yeah.
What is that sign about? I remember hearing something about the crown of stars in her head. And there was 9 stars, I think, and then there was 12 stars, and then that was a part of the sign.
Well, I don't know everything about that, but I do know that 3 other planets come in with the 9 other planets or stars that make the 12, and that's unusual. But one of them is a lion, and we know Jesus is a lion of the tribe of Judah. And so it's just really interesting how all that is coming about, you know.
For the first time in history, I've heard it said, and certainly I'm not an astronomer, I cannot just testify to it, but there's wise people who say that it has not happened for 5,000 years, and that seems to be the limit of the star charts, 5,000 years in each direction. And so they have never seen this event in their star charts, nor in the future does it show up. So it certainly indicates that this now is the time when something is showing itself to be available to happen.
You know, I'd like to just say something about the timing of the rapture. You know, it's important to know end times, but there's something more important than knowing the timing of the rapture. And I believe that's, do you know Jesus, and does he know you? Because when he comes back for the wedding feast, 5 virgins were ready and 5 weren't. And he said to the 5 that weren't ready, I didn't know you. And to the 5 that were ready, he knew. And so there, God is there for us. All we have to do is open our heart and let him come in. Because he gave us free will. He doesn't force himself on us. You know, I was in my 30s before I got saved and before I even realized he was real. But he is real, and he's coming very soon. So what's more important than knowing when the rapture happens? And I'm not saying it's not important to know when the rapture happens, because God gave us 150 chapters in the Bible to about the end times, to know when he's coming. And there's only 82 chapters in the 4 Gospels. So that it's important to God, and it's important to you to get in and read those chapters yourself and let God speak to you through what he wants you to know, instead of just going on what everybody else is saying, what fiction books are saying, what movies are saying. Go to the Word of God to find your gospel, to find the truth, because Jesus said the first thing he said, the first warning he gave us, do not be deceived.
Yeah, that's right.
And believe me, there is a lot of deception going on today. Read the scriptures literally, and you'll see through it. And so that's my advice. Read the scriptures for yourself. Call out on the Lord to help you understand them. You know, you have the Holy Spirit. If you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit to teach you. You don't have to listen to everybody or every movie or every book. You've got the Holy Spirit. You and the Bible and the Holy Spirit, you can come up with the truth and not be part of the ones that are deceived in these last days. And so I say that's more important than knowing the timing, because if you're pre-trib and you know the Lord and it's not pre-trib, you'll make it through. If you're post-trib and you don't know the Lord, you won't make it through. Right. If we got to know the Lord, and it's going to be his grace to make us through, help us through what's coming. If it's before the rapture or after the rapture, things are going to get hard either way. So we just need to prepare now, start preparing our hearts now for what's coming, because God loves you. And just because you're going through a hard time or trouble doesn't mean he doesn't love you, because he sees the bigger picture. It says in 1 Peter 4 that those have suffered have ceased from sin. So he uses our suffering too to cause us to be refined. And he's coming back for a body, a bride without spot or wrinkle. Yeah. And we got to know, and we've all got to change. I mean, we all have stuff that has to go, and we have to need more of him. And this is a daily thing that we seek him. Give me more of you, Lord, more of you, less of me, more of you. Like John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. So we really need to be working on our salvation. It said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I know that you can't earn salvation. It's a free gift. But sanctification will cost us everything. So justification, when you come to the Lord, his righteousness is given to you. But sanctification is when you become righteous, and that costs you everything, because that's where Paul said that it's no longer me living, but Christ living in me. And if you look at this book of Song of Solomon, the first four chapters are about us. The last four chapters are about Jesus. So the first four chapters are our inheritance in him. The last four chapters are about his inheritance in us. And in that fourth chapter, the Shulamite, which is the bride of Christ or us, says, go ahead and send the north winds and the south winds, because the north winds are the afflictions, the troubles in our life. And up until that time, she's a garden enclosed. But at that point, she becomes a garden where the fragrance flows out to the world after the trouble comes, the tribulation and trouble. And she's willing enough, after she sees his love for her, she finally grows up to the point where, okay, God, anything, do whatever you need to do to do the work that you need to do in me. And that's where God's taken all of us, from infancy to maturity, to where it's all about us as young Christians, and then pretty soon it's all about him. But it's a work that he does, and we can't do it either. It's a work that he does in us that all we can do is just submit to it, agree to it, and then it actually comes about.
Yeah. I have to suppose that this is the key part of this is faith. It's understanding. It's the demonstration that what God says is actually true, and we can see it. We see it as examples right in front of us and around us, and seeing the truth of God's word, of God's presence in our life, that we say yes to it.
So, yeah. Yeah, that's awesome, John. Yeah, that's very true. And it's all about us yielding to the Lord and dying to self, picking up our cross and coming after him. And nobody likes to suffer. We don't like to suffer. But, you know, our God works everything for the good of those that love him and are called according to his purpose. And everybody that lives suffers. I mean, you're not going to get out of it. So you might as well be suffering for the Lord or for a reason, you know.
Yeah, that's true. We all have something. We all have, as the Bible says, a cross to bear.
Yeah. Yeah.
And which one is it going to be?
Yeah.
Oh, the one that fits. And who knows that better than Jesus Christ, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
The one who's been to the cross. And with all these things that are coming upon us, so to speak, because that's biblical, we have times that are coming that we really don't know what's coming, except there are indicators. Mm-hmm. There's things that are said in, I think of Matthew 24 a lot, but
Yeah.
What do you think of when you see the signs and the indicators?
Well, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 24 that the love of many would wax cold.
Yeah.
And because of the lawlessness that's coming on the earth. And so I think we really need to guard our heart in that area, that we need to be pressing in for more love. And when we see the lawlessness happen, to not succumb to fear. And to bind fear, Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. We'll have to do warfare in that area in our life and just rebuke the fear and seek more love, because the love working through faith is what's going to get us through what's coming. So we really need that combination of faith and love working together. And that is the currency of the kingdom, by the way.
Faith and love.
Yeah, and just resist the fear, because that's Satan's tool. He's trying to put fear on everybody today, and you don't have to receive it. We have a God that loves us, and we can trust in him, and it doesn't matter what happens. He's going to see us through. The book of Revelation is about our victory, and no matter what happens, we have a better life coming. When Jesus comes back, things are going to get good, and they're going to stay good forever for us.
Forever, yes.
And that's, we need to be looking ahead for the joy that's before us, and the awesome time we're going to have, and the, you know, the double honor we're going to have when he comes back, and the double joy, triple joy, and just a great life. And it's going to get hard between now and then, but what we're going to go through is to prove that we are worthy of the kingdom, and that he can take vengeance on anything that's done to us. And that's the other part of the other half of the coin. So thank you, John, for letting me be here today and share my heart.
You are so welcome. This is such a good conversation to have. And you've touched on things that are important to me, too. The love is important. The fear is important. The fall festivals are important. And these are things that I see and I wonder about, too. And so we can see these things are right at hand. They're right here in front of us.
Amen.
And they could come in very short order upon us.
I think they are. Yeah,
yeah, I think they are.
I think they're here at the door already, and we just need to open our eyes and see what's going on. You know.
Do you have an idea about how we can change the fear that we do have? Because things, circumstances, things right in front of us are going to be, in a sense, they will feel overwhelming. And so we are going to feel that fear. We are going to feel overwhelmed. And yet, we are supposed to have love. Love for God, love for our fellow man, love for our brother and sister in Christ. Now, do you have an idea how we can change the feelings that we have inside of us?
Well, my advice on that was just to spend more time with Jesus in prayer.
Prayer. That's a good one.
Yeah, and just, you know, Mary sat at his feet, and she saw the power of God.
Yeah.
And so as we sit at his feet, we'll see the power of God to get us through whatever we got to go through. And that's the whole point is relationship. How is your relationship with the Lord? Get everything out of your life. You know, Hebrews 12:1 says, lay aside every weight and the sin that besets you, so easily besets you, and run with endurance the race that's set before you.
Yeah, that's right.
Because Jesus endured the cross because of the joy that was set before him. So we need to look at the millennial reign because it is the joy that's set before us, and really focus in on that and let it carry us through, and work on our relationship with the Lord today, because now is the time to work on it. It's not to wait at that time, because you want to work on it today. So that's my advice. It's take time out. Get up in the morning a half hour early or hour early and spend time listening to your Lord, because we hear his voice if we'll take time out to listen to it. He says, my sheep will hear my voice. So we can hear his voice. He wants to talk to us. But sometimes we're so busy, we don't take time out. But if we start off our day with a half hour, hour with the Lord, I guarantee you, you'll hear him better during the day. And you'll be able to hear him during the troubled times. Go here, do this. He can save us. He's going to protect us. He says, I pray in 17, John 17, verse 15, he says, I don't pray that you take my people out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. So he's going to have angels around us. Psalm 91 says 1,000 will fall at one side, 10,000 the other side of you. But that won't, that plague won't come near you. So it's all about relationship. Work on it. It's time well spent. And I'm preaching to myself here too.
Yeah, that's right. Know, and prayer is so very important. Yeah. But the one other thing that I always wonder about is, yes, we pray. Yes, we speak to God. Yes, we do that. But how do we hear his voice? Do you have an idea about listening to God and hearing his voice?
Yeah, just quit talking and listen. Spend some quiet time and maybe putting on some worship music, good quiet worship music. And, you know, there's different techniques, but mainly just being quiet and waiting to hear from him.
Upon the Lord. I've heard that before.
So that's what it works for me anyway.
Yeah. Well, Elwood Cross, you have such a wonderful example of things that are going on and how you speak and what you have to say, your experiences. It is just a delight to have you on the show today. And thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for having me. I enjoyed it. Yes.
Very nice.
Yes.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Until the next time.